Next Step, episode 109, July 8th, 2010. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission and is brought to you by the cool folks, actually brought you on Apostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, hey, I know I am, let's take the next step. You better believe I am ready. I am ready to take the next step. It has been a wild morning already. Thank you. I just can't believe the number of emails we got this morning. Did you catch it last night? Wasn't that incredible? Last night we did the Questions in Faith. We celebrated the third anniversary of our 777 conference by remembering that lecture on forgiveness and the magic code that we have in Armenian Orthodoxy for forgiveness. I mean, if you didn't catch that lecture, it is at apostle.net. It has been archived, and from the looks of it, it sounds like a lot of you downloaded it just this morning, because that is wild. I appreciate it. First of all, let me say thank you. I appreciate for your kind comments, especially there was one from a grandma who watched it with her grandchild, and I guess babysitting, and that was kind of an interesting. So thank you, Seta, for those comments, and especially our European audience. I want to thank you. I mean, I am just like, I got to tell you, I am humbled. I am really truly humbled. I guess it is the following morning that you downloaded and you watch it. So anyway, the Questions in Faith series is our stream that we do every Wednesday evening in Pacific time. And so our European listeners, I guess, pick it up the following morning, not as a stream, but as an archive. But yesterday we talked about forgiveness and we presented the 777 formula. And that is really unique. That is really one of the cornerstones to what we call Armada over here, you know, basically taking from Armenian Orthodoxy, stripping out all the nonsense, all of the politics that doesn't belong there, and you've got this core faith that has kept a people alive, that has kept a people going. I mean, despite all the odds, you're talking about Armenians living at the crossroads of three continents without any military plan, without any military art, without any army, and every barbarian, every person you could imagine has walked through that land, and yet these people have continued. They've survived, they've prospered. Well, hey, there's a secret there, and that secret is so basic. It's fundamental to life. It is the secret of love. And that has been ingrained in a people because of a holy tradition that has been passed along to them. What we call Armenodoxy is basically strip out all of the politics of what we call the Armenian Church and get to the core faith. What is that faith that Jesus taught? And you say, well, read the Bible. Hey, 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 hold it. Hold it right there. It doesn't end with the Bible. Yes, 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 I know, the warning bells are going off. What did this man say? Yes, there's more to it than the Bible. Yes, absolutely. Please, leave me alone. I know. Well, believe it or not, before there was a Bible, there was Christ. God didn't give us a Bible. God gave us something much, much, much better than the Bible. He gave us that precious gift of life, of love, and he expressed that through the sacrifice made by his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us his son, and that son didn't give us a Bible. Jesus didn't give us a Bible. He gave us his body, and he said, my body will do my work here on earth. And it was that body, which we call the church, that put together the Bible. And the proof of this is just in history itself, right? The Bible doesn't come, well, it doesn't get put together until about the 4th or 5th century. So what happened until then? You mean there were no Christians there? Of course there were. And these Christians got together and they were the church, having the essence of Christianity, understanding what the power of love is. And what we talked about last night is, well, when I said the cornerstone of Armodoxy, we're talking about the power of forgiveness in that love equation. So anyway, if you didn't get a chance to check it out, do check it out. It's last night's Questions in Faith. You go to ourapostle.net website, check out the broadcast. It should be archived over there. But today we're going to go in a few other directions. We've got a great show for you. We have got a wonderful show. We've got Ara Arzumanyan. I left you with his article last week. I asked you to read it, and I got a couple comments on that, but I saw that on the website, on Ararat Magazine, there was quite a few comments, and we're looking forward to talking to him. Had a chance to sit down with him in studio, and that interview is coming up in a few minutes. Along with that, we're going to be talking about Vartavar, the Transfiguration. Vartavar, a major feast among the Armenian church and the entire Christian church. It is the Transfiguration of Christ. We're going to be talking about that in a few more minutes. We've got Ani with her bubbles, and let me tell you, like we do every week, we start it off, we kick it off with a song of the day. And today, we've got a special request. It is by our guest, and I couldn't refuse him. Here's a request from Ara Arzumanyan. It is the Lord's Prayer. Hayrmed.
voices, surte a vici a un accord.
Okay, go ahead. Tell the truth. Did you expect something different? That was Haidmer, literally means Our Father, and it is by Samvel Grigorian, and that is available on his CD of the same name, Haidmer, available wherever good music is sold, and we will definitely put a link on our show notes so that you could order it right online. But it does get us in the mood. It is a special request by today's guest, Ada Arzumanyan. I can't remember when I met Ada first, but a few years ago we had a chance to really share some interesting moments together. We were doing our famine, our annual event to collect money for the children in Darfur and in areas ravaged by genocide. And he caught my attention because he was doing a pilgrimage to Wounded Knee. And of course, you know, one of the big parts of In His Shoes Ministries is really taking the past and adapting it for today. Obviously, if you've got a situation in Darfur, you've got a situation in Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan today, with ethnic cleansing taking place, we as Armenian, as people who have been through similar situations, have an obligation, have to walk the walk, and we walk it in their shoes. So when I heard that he was walking in the shoes, walking towards Wounded Knee, caught my attention. And since then, I think it might have even been before then, but definitely that was an event that brought us together on a common platform. And since then, we've had opportunities to share ideas, to really work together and discuss this incredible, incredible work that needs to be done in the Glendale area. We at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, across from some strategically placed across the street from the high school, a cluster of schools and young people, and Ada with his Gen Next program, and he is one of those unique young men who is doing some work. You saw our picture on the website there. Yeah, he's the one with the darker beard. Why does gray have to exist? I don't know. Anyway, that is Ada right next to me. Let me read to you just a couple things as a preface to this interview. Ada Arzumanyan has been working as a professional in the field of youth development for the last 10 years. He currently directs the prevention-based AGBU Generation Next mentorship program, serving Armenian youth in Glendale and the greater Los Angeles area. Arzumanyan serves on the School Violence Prevention Committee of Toll and Roosevelt Middle Schools in Glendale, sits on the Glendale Unified School District's Student Attendance Review Board, and is the chair of the Glendale Unified School District's Healthy Start Collaborative. Now, those are his credentials, and you'll see in a few minutes when we talk to him what an amazing young man he is. But let me just tell you that the situation in Glendale is just, it's a very unique situation. You've got a large, large immigrant population. You've got domestic violence. You've got issues caused by the financial situation, not only the global financial situation, but young families, old families coming and adjusting to the American lifestyle and the financial demands that are put upon a family. You've got the problems caused by drugs. You've got sexual promiscuity rampant among young kids. You've got suicide issues. You've got neglect. You've got the prejudice that's caused in Glendale itself against Armenians. Prejudice, outright prejudice. And you see this inside of the schools, you see this out on the streets. And there is something that is known as, well, in Armenian, it's a clever word. It's called Chaylami Hokepanutyun. It literally means ostrich psychology. Basically, stick your head in the sand and, you know, it doesn't exist. Well, Ada is far from that. He is one who does call it the way it is, and he has long time admitted what the problem is and does talk about it, and he does do something about it. So, Ada, it is great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Dervosken. Thanks for having me.
Ada, you're from Generation Next. Tell us about that program.
Well, Generation Next is a mentorship program. It's part of AGBU, the Armenian General Benevolent Union. And it's basically a Big Brothers, Big Sisters program for Armenian kids. We have volunteer mentors. We match them up with Armenian teenagers. They hang out together. We have group activities once a month where we all get together, do something fun. This month we're going to be celebrating Vartevar, which everyone really loves, a huge water fight. We do something like that every month. And the mentors and mentees hang out together a couple of times a month on their own. And that one-to-one time, that's where the real magic of mentoring happens. That's where that child sees that there's someone in their life that cares about them. Not that their parents don't, but there's someone there that doesn't quote-unquote have to be there. It's not their parent, it's not an aunt or an uncle, it's not their teacher or counselor. Someone taking time out of their life to be part of that person's reality, that person's life. And through that, we create community. We create this strong support system around each child.
Now, you say you're creating community, and of course, Glendale is a large community. I invited our listeners to read your article, The Lost Kids of Armenian America, and maybe some people might be shocked at some of the things that you wrote about, that these things even exist. I mean, it is, for somebody at first glance, you're saying, what's going on over here? So let's begin with that community that we're talking about. Can you tell us about the Glendale community, the Glendale Armenian community?
Yeah, sure. The best estimates are that there are about 100,000 Armenians living in Glendale, somewhere between, let's say, 80 to 100,000 Armenians living in Glendale. Those are based on census, city of Glendale, gas bills, all sorts of things like that, that number. And that's in a city that has a little over 200,000, something like 210,000 population. So Glendale is definitely the biggest Armenian population center in America. There are population centers in Russia that surpass in terms of numbers, but in terms of density of population, where we have a large number of Armenians living in very few square miles, Glendale is like a little Armenia here. But then that idea of community, it's not one community. You know, we're very fractured, factionalized community, and a lot of the kids just kind of feel lost in that all.
And that's what I'd like to get at. I mean, arguably people could say that, well, Glendale is the community. I mean, you have a large ethnic minority, quote unquote, this Armenian community there. That in itself should contribute to identity. I mean, what on top of that do we need to do? Why create a community?
Well, if you go hang out at any of the high schools, for example, and what the kids do are a reflection of our society. It's a very, you know, just basic fact of life is how they act is a reflection of how we act. And if you go to any high school, the hayastantsis, that is the Armenians from Armenia, hang out here. The Armenians from Iran hang out here. The newly come Armenians hang out here. The Armenians that have been here for about 6 or 7 years hang out here. The Armenians that have been here for a while hang out here. The washed out, whitewashed Armenians, you know, very factionalized.
Oh, that's, you know, a good one. Whitewashed. What's a whitewashed, washed out Armenian?
You know, that's kind of a derogatory term that they use to say, oh, this person has Americanized. They're not really Armenian anymore, quote unquote. So it's a very broken up group. And again, that idea, that feeling of community, it's not here a lot of times. Maybe in your, you know, depends on what neighborhood you live in, depends on what street you live in. If you go to a private school, you know, then you have that perhaps. If you do, even for kids that do go to a private school, a lot of them don't feel that community presence in their lives. Our various organizations are kind of spread out. We don't have those real neighborhoods and things like that. The lack of Armenian unity is definitely a big part of this problem. one thing that we try to show the kids, and we've been really successful at it, is a strong example of Armenian unity. We have mentors and mentees from all over the world. We have, you know, Armenians from Iran, Armenians from Armenia, Armenians from Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, US-born Armenians, third, fourth generation Armenian Americans, all of them together united in this mission of creating community. Because it's not just about, it's not helping kids. Because if you set out to just help kids, then you're already set up for failure. It's the idea of working together to create community, and the mentors are involved in that strongly, the mentees are involved in that, and it's one of the few examples of real strong Armenian unity that these kids see in their lives, actually. And I'm very proud of that. We work hard at making that happen.
You definitely should be proud of that accomplishment. That is quite a feat, trust me. Arad, let's talk a little bit about Glendale. What's going on in Glendale? Of course, we have a lot of listeners that are not ethnically Armenian. We have a lot of listeners who are plugged in today because of, well, what Armenian Orthodoxy presents to them and offers to them. And of course, we have a lot of listeners that are Armenian and may not really relate to what's going on in such a new community. I mean, from your article, you talk about runaways, you talk about sexual promiscuity, drug abuse, suicide, you talk about fighting, gangs. I mean, it sounds like the Wild West on fast forward. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, this article that I wrote, it talks about Armenians, but these problems are obviously not unique to Armenians. Mm-hmm. These are all problems that all youth in LA are facing. Glendale is one of the suburbs of LA, but that's the old description. It's not really a suburb anymore. Some parts of it are suburban, but it's really a city at this point. So Latinos are facing these, black youth, Asians from all different countries, you know, Koreans, Filipinos, everyone here is facing these issues. For some reason, as Armenians, we feel that we're immune to this type of stuff. And sometimes that superiority complex comes across with the kids and gets them in trouble. And another great article that I just read on the same website talking about Latino-Armenian issues, which I know you've dealt with a lot, Father Voskan, being right across the street here from Hoover High School. And that superiority complex comes into play a lot of times when it causes these issues. But we need to wake up to the fact that we're not immune, that we are dealing with all sorts of problems. There is family breakdown. There is community breakdown. There is, as a community, us ignoring these kids, which makes them go out there and look for things on their own.
What do you think of the notion of this being just a survival mechanism, that being a minority, being a group that really wants to exert some kind of political influence but can't, that maybe you're out there setting yourself apart, that you get into these kind of situations just to say that, hey, look at us. And this is in itself a survival mechanism or a way of coping.
Well, I don't know. It might be part of it. What happens a lot of times is at home, the parents express, you know, racist views towards other nationalities and things like that out of a fear that maybe their kids are going to marry or date Odars and so forth, you know. But what happens is that those parents, while they're able to kind of have those views but never really have friction maybe in the real world, kids aren't. Mm-hmm. Because kids feel a need to resolve hypocrisies. So, which is normal for teenagers especially to do. So if they have racist views, they come out in an environment where they're at school and there are people who are going to take offense to that, and, you know, tempers run hot and things happen. So that kind of superiority complex, that thing of the parents being a little bit xenophobic and so forth, translates to the kids, and the kids get into a lot of trouble for it.
Resolving that hypocrisy, helping them resolve that hypocrisy, is probably where your mentorship program comes in, right? How do you do that? How do you resolve that hypocrisy?
We, you know, a big part of it is self-confidence. A huge part of helping kids deal with all sorts of issues is self-confidence. And I know that you being a parent and a lot of parents out there listening, a lot of times you hope that you instill in your kids the right and wrong and the strength to, in a situation, make the best decision possible. Whereas you can't just tell them what to do in every situation, but you want to give them the tools to be able to do something right in every situation. So that's a big part of what we do, is instilling self-confidence in the kids. Just by virtue of the fact that they have a mentor in their lives, as I said earlier, someone who's taking out the time for them, who's making the time for them, that's a big part of growing their self-confidence. Also, getting to know who they are, learning about their culture, about their background, about their history is a big part of it. The problem comes in is when you have an empty sense of ego, it's easy to pierce. And it's easy for you to take offense and for someone to strike fear in you and you respond with aggression. You know, when kids, for example, a few years ago, not through this program, I've been working with kids for 10 years. So in another program, I had a kid come in who had a huge tattoo on his thigh of the Armenian coat of arms, the Zinan Nishan. He had just gotten it. He was 13 years old when he got that tattoo. And it said something like Armenian pride or high till I die or something like that, Armenian for life, around it. And I asked him, so what are you proud about? And he couldn't really name anything. The best thing he could come up with was, we're crazy. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, we're crazy. We'll do anything. We're down meaning, you know, we're willing to fight. And, you know, he just couldn't really come up with anything other than we're crazy. We'll fight whenever or for whatever reason necessary. And I asked him something simple, you know, Zinan Nishan, the coat of arms, very Armenian symbol. I asked him about another very Armenian symbol, and I said, do you know who Vartan Mamikonyan is? And this is kind of sad and kind of funny at the same time, but he said, I know, he's a singer, right? And that's that empty sense of ego that I'm talking about, that I'm so proud, I'm so Armenian, I'm so into this being Armenian, red, blue, orange all the way, but not knowing what any of it means. So it's easy for someone to pierce that empty ego and make you feel threatened, make you feel like you need to be aggressive. But when we fill up that ego for the kids, it doesn't become an ego anymore. It becomes a sense of self, self-love, self-knowledge, identity, and self-confidence.
I like that idea, the empty ego. And in fact, it's interesting, isn't it? Isn't all ego empty, really? Let's come back to that in just a little bit. I want to ask you, well, I guess we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. Susie's queuing us up for a commercial right now. Well, it's not a commercial. You get to hear Susie tell you what's so important about this ministry and what we're doing over here. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with Ara Arzumanyan, our today's guest on The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder also gives me an opportunity to take a little break and just thank all of you for your kind wishes, for your emails. And I'm sorry, sometimes it takes me a while to get back to you, but you know, I read all of them and I appreciate them. We've started a new tradition during the Divine Liturgy. We're remembering everyone by our prayers. And if you drop me an email, you know you're remembered in the most sacred of traditions at the Divine Liturgy. And I always appreciate your thoughts, your kind words, your reflections. And of course, a very real part of this ministry depends on your donations. So I want to reiterate what Susie said. You know, you can donate. You can just go on our website, epostle.net, press on the donate button, and it's done immediately. The miracles of technology, immediately. If you're inclined to send in a donation, you could do that at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale, California, 91202. Yeah, see, we don't even use the mail. I forgot the zip codes. Anyway, 91202. That is the address you could send in your donations. And this month, we do have a promotion going on. We have our Gore Spirit album. Gore Mkhitaryan, this weekend, tomorrow night, he has a concert. Don't miss it if you are in the Los Angeles area. And if you're not, you should be in the Los Angeles area. He is going to be at Levitt Pavilion. Hey, Ken, cue up a little of his music. There you go. Okay. Gore's going to be at Levitt Pavilion tomorrow evening. That's July 9th. And if you mention my name at the door, you're in free. Okay, I know. Whether you mention my name or not, you're in free. It's an outdoor concert. It is incredible. You have never, never enjoyed something so beautifully as a Pasadena summer evening with the stars up above and the cool tunes of Gore Mkhitaryan. And I hear he's even going to have a special performance. You will not want to miss that. That is tomorrow evening. But if you are far away from the Los Angeles area, you want to get your hands on some great Gore music, for any donation to epostle.net, we are sending out the Spirit album. That is the acclaimed spiritual album, Spirit or Hokies, which was produced back in 2008. It is available through In Issues Ministry, and it is given as a gift for any size donation to epostle.net. For a $250 donation, the second tier, we are offering a collection of all the Next Steps, the first 2 years, put handsomely displayed and produced on CDs. These are the actual MP3 files from which the masters were recorded. So they are available for a gift of $250 or more. And of course, we are always looking for sponsorship. If you want a commercial, you want to be a sponsor to these Next Steps, please drop us a line. That's at feedback@epostle.net. Ach telu vachin main khavar Yes himarten lain teberunem chakhrelu patrast Du im vahanes Iskes kovergan hartanaki Ukes es gumem Anand mech yetulanam in zokni das was konnem heiz mech bahir in zaner mit toch nich gortsem mech konnem heiz mech uzumem so vore tschnam mine sire. We are back with Ara Arzumanyan from Gen Next. He is talking about the youth and Glendale in particular, what's going on, some of the social situations, something very dear to our heart here at In His Shoes Ministries, because we do want to at least try to place our feet in the shoes of others, and certainly Ara does that in his work. So we're back with Ara right now. We were just talking about this empty ego idea, but before going on to that, Ara, tell me a little bit about, I guess I was thinking about the parents. Where are they?
Well, the parents are there.
A 13-year-old with a tattoo on his thigh.
Well, here's the here's the thing. Sometimes the parents are there, sometimes they're not. For families to develop in isolation is a very, very recent idea in human history. We have always, always been part of tight-knit communities. And families don't kind of go forward in isolation. Like the community you have here at the church, people are part of this community. And if they were out there on their own, they don't have you to turn to when they're hurting. They don't have their, you know, fellow parishioners to turn to when they're in trouble. So, yes, sometimes these parents are out of the picture. These kids are still the responsibility of the entire community, not just those parents. But oftentimes, the parents are there. The problems are many. The problems are coming in from all sorts of different angles. The parents don't really, even very well-educated parents, don't know a lot about what's going on in the kids' lives. You know what I mean? Don't know a lot about all the issues that are out there that parents need to be aware of, because things are changing very rapidly. You know, there's all, of course, you saw my article on the internet, and the internet is a place where a lot of kids get into a lot of trouble. Some of these parents don't know. There's, you know, yes, the parents need our support, definitely. Early parent education is an important thing. That's something we have on the horizon, kind of the 10-year plan of things that we want to implement in the community. The lack of community that we used to have in other nations where Armenians were much more tight-knit communities means that parents that are not as strong in their parenting skills can have a very high chance of losing that kid. Whereas over there, the community picked up the slack a little bit. And here that's not happening. And we're in LA. We're in, you know, the street gang capital of the world. We're in a place where there's a lot of drugs. We're in a place where last weekend, or what was it, 2 weekends ago, there's a huge rave that 8 kids of all ages are going to. That, you know.
Let me get back to the parents, because I do want to pinpoint some of the issues that we're discussing over here. And I think that there's something to be said about the parenting that's taking place. And definitely in your article, you remember, I'm going to quote right out of your article. It says, "Our grandmas and our grandpas don't present our kids with much of a positive role model, however. They sit there for hours smoking, gambling, and gossiping. Armenian teenagers ask them for a papiros, a cigarette, and usually get a lecture followed sometimes by a cigarette." Okay, what's going on over here? This certainly doesn't sound like my grandma, my grandpa, not my generation, and not the one after me either, not even a couple generations after. We're not talking about mommig and babig, you know, the normal grandma and grandpa who would slap the cigarette out of your hand, who were the moral compasses in our lives. So what's going on over here? Is it a question of the economics, about financial difficulties, about coming to America?
It's everything. It's the economics. It's coming to America. It's the fact that, for example, when I was going to high school, which wasn't very long ago, graduated in 1995, if you got into trouble, you got into trouble with the principal and the assistant principal, and they might get community members involved and your counselor, and they'd call in your parents and this and that. Nowadays, for the same kind of trouble I used to get into, ditching class, smoking cigarettes, getting into fights, kids get tickets for all those things by cops. Kids get arrested for all of those things. So it's usual kid mischief. It's not a good idea to ditch class. It's not a good idea to smoke cigarettes or get into a fight. But it's teenager mischief. It's stuff that happens, but now it's treated as crimes. Whereas before it was treated as, we need to help this kid get back on track. Now it's, let's come down with the hammer.
Okay, fair enough. Let's we won't pick on grandma and grandpa right now. Tell me about the problem. How big is this problem? I mean, your article does alarm a lot of people. Like I said earlier, we want to get away from that ostrich mentality you talk about in your article about Haydar Agutyun, about this embarrassment we have. Well, how big is this problem?
There's no real research on that in terms of numbers. If you want statistics, what I can tell you is that I see a lot of it, and it's not because I deal with a certain type of youth, quote unquote, in our program, we have a spectrum of kids. And that's just from a technical aspect of, if there's anyone listening out there who runs youth programs, they might be interested, is that I feel you can't have all one type of kid in a program. It just doesn't work. You need a spectrum of different types of kids who are doing well, not doing so well, doing amazingly well, doing really poorly, everything in between.
How prevalent? Is this a big problem?
Yeah. Taking drugs? No, not everyone's taking drugs. It's a funny question that you put it that way. I asked two kids going to the same high school, same year. Mm-hmm. How many people at your school do drugs? I asked them separately. One girl said, I don't know, maybe 5%. The other boy said, oh, about 70%. So it depends on what circle they're in, right? The truth is somewhere in between. It's neither 5% nor 70%. Drugs are very prevalent. Weed is very, very prevalent in our community. Crystal meth is causing big problems in our community, as I'm sure you're well aware. Opium and other things. Yeah, there are a lot of problems. It is not something that is a small minority in our community. Kids are getting involved in all sorts of things. Kids are running away from home. Kids are on probation, incarcerated. I have had so many Armenian kids that I've known, that I've worked with, that have been on probation, that it, even if we look at sheer numbers of just the kids I know, it constitutes a significant percentage of our community. So research wise I'm sure people are, I know people are coming up now planning on doing that stuff. It's kind of hard to research it and come up with real numbers. It's definitely serious. The situation is grim.
So from what I'm understanding, then basically you're saying that there's nothing unique about the numbers, right? If the general population has 40% of it is on drugs, then the Armenian population has 40% drug abuse problem. There's nothing unique about a recently arrived immigrant community within the larger community.
Yes, that's right. The only one unique thing, and this is some, well, depending on how you look at it, some reason for a bit calm or being happy about it, is that we don't have teen parents, which is different from the rest of the population. And that's not to say that Armenian kids aren't having sex or getting pregnant, but I, in all these years, have never met one Armenian girl, teenager, who carried a child to term if she did get pregnant.
Okay, I guess we are back to the ostrich psychology, right? Let's pretend it doesn't exist when it comes to abortion. I appreciate the candidness with which you spoke, and definitely this is something that we've spoken many times and have addressed through our ministry. I just appreciate it. I'm saddened. Of course, the abortion issue is something very, very close to my heart, and how prevalent it is among Armenian youth today. Something that the church has completely, completely closed its eyes to. I'll take a sigh and promise to come back to it in the next few podcasts. Definitely, it is part of our ministry. Ada, let's talk about solutions.
Well, my favorite part is talking about the solutions. I think the solutions are there for us to take. I don't think these problems are something that need to perplex us or that we need to be afraid of. I think the community as a whole needs to take these issues head on, and that means every single Armenian organization needs to have abundant, well-funded, stable youth programming, that is, after-school programs, mentoring programs, all sorts of things, not just sports leagues, not just scouting. These are wonderful things for kids, but if we're facing a lot of new problems, then we need to get creative and treat them in new ways. I think, like I said, every organization needs to be heavily involved with youth programming. I think that as a community, we need to take responsibility for our actions. We keep waiting for the schools to do things. We keep waiting for the city of Glendale to do things. I think we need to do, or any city we're in, Hollywood, North Hollywood, whatever, we need to do things for ourselves. I think we need to open up to the rest of the community out here and not just be so kind of within ourselves, and as I said earlier, xenophobic. I think we need to look at partnerships and things that we can create. I think parents have to recognize that they are not meant, not only can't, but are not meant to do it on their own. They need to be part of a community. They need to participate at the school parent meetings, at the at parenting classes, all sorts of things, all the resources that are available for them, they need to take advantage of. I think we need to come together. I think there are a few groups out here doing a lot of great work, and we need more company, and we need to recognize that spending... See, here's the thing. A lot of people, when I say this, they'll say, well, where's the money for all that? The money is everywhere in our community. You drive down Glen... Just sit on Glen Oaks for half an hour. You'll see enough money to run 50 youth programs drive by. We're willing to spend money on cars. We're willing to spend money on buildings. You know, oftentimes donors, they do great work in terms of funding great projects in the community. A lot of times they want to have their name on a building. But sometimes we need to have that name on a youth program, school program. You know, we need to recognize that you need to pay youth workers. It's a normal thing. Everyone does it. We need to have youth workers that are paid, that are out there making relationships. It's all about creating relationships with each other, with the kids. Definitely, definitely, we are in a position as Armenians to make a big difference in our own community. Whether or not we're willing to take on that responsibility, that's the question.
Okay, so we need funding for programs, but does it matter what kind of programs, or is it just a question of keeping people busy?
No, we have to do programming that's appropriate to these kids. If we're talking about little kids, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, it's a lot easier to come up with creative programming for them, and we're pretty good at doing things like that, getting those age kids involved. As a community, we're not so good at doing that for teenagers. Teenagers are harder to deal with for a lot of people. They're, in certain respects, a lot like adults, and in other respects, very much children. And it confuses a lot of adults sometimes. We need to be creative. We need to have youth outreach programs. We need to come at them where they are, not where we would have them be. You know? So, if they're in the office and they're hanging out with you and they're letting curse words slip here and there and you need to tolerate it to be able to hang out with them, then sometimes you need to tolerate it to be able to hang out with them, to be able to get in, change, be creative. That's the bottom line.
Ara, I want to talk a little bit about identity. Earlier, you talked about the young man who was confused about Varta Mamigonyan being some singer. And obviously, young people coming into the big melting pot of America do face some issues of confusion, identity confusion. They come from Armenia, and they come from the Middle East, Iran, Beirut. Yet they are more American than they are, say, a reflection of Lebanese culture or Iranian culture. And basically, this is the last stop. America is the last stop. So do you find that there is confusion, in particular regarding identity?
Yeah, there's definitely a big confusion about what it means to be Armenian. Not that I have the answer to that question, but it certainly doesn't mean we're crazy. Like that kid that we were talking about. But the kids have a serious lack of knowledge of our history, of our culture. And I'm going to say it right now, that is our fault. As the adults in the community, that's our fault. That they are confused about who they are. Teenagers are supposed to be confused about who they are, but not having even a basic level of knowledge upon which they can call while figuring out their confusion, that's our fault. The community has fallen asleep at the switch. We're not there providing this for them. When we are providing it for them, we're shoving it down their throats of, you will be Armenian, you will be Armenian. We're teaching history and mythology kind of together, and, you know, like, kids aren't, even the ones that know, it was Sasunsi David a real guy, or was that a legend, or was, you know, it. We're not doing a good job of this stuff. So, Yes, it comes into play when we're talking to the kids. For example, oftentimes people will see me interacting with the kids, and with most of the kids that grew up here, I'm speaking English to them. And they come up to me, well, why are you talking English to? Why are you speaking in English to these kids? Why don't you speak in Armenian? Yeah, it's a hard thing that I'm dealing with, because if I speak in full Armenian, you know, trying to use every single word in Armenian without throwing every other word in English, then I have to explain every other word to the child, you know, because they don't know a lot of the words, you know. It's Armenglish is what mostly we speak here. But so then it kind of kills the flow of our conversation and I can't get to the serious stuff. So I have to pick English. But then if I have a kid who does speak Armenian really well, I can. So, yeah, it's definitely dealing with these multiple identities, you know, now, and let me tell you a funny story dealing with multiple identities. You said, you know, the Armenian-American identity, the wherever you came from, whether that's Iran or Armenia or Russia or Egypt or Syria, whatever it is. So, around here, the kids slang Armo. The word Armo now means Hayastansi, or Armenians from Armenia. When I was growing up, Armo was a word me and my friends got into a fight over many times, because it was kind of like a derogatory term for Armenians that aren't Armenians used. So the word Armo now means Hayastansi, or Armenians from Armenia. The word Vitek now means Armenians from Iran, Parskahai, okay?
Why is that?
Okay, VTEC, some of you car guys out there, gearheads, will recognize it's a type of engine in Japanese cars that a lot of Armenians from Iran around here used to like to fix up and race. Okay? So they started becoming called, that subculture of Armenians from Iran started being called VTECs. The term evolved to now cover pretty much any Armenian from Iran is a VTEC. So this one girl at one of the schools, I'm talking to her, and she asked me, she was in 8th grade, beautiful girl, she asks me, what kind of Armenian are you? And for me, that's always a wonderful opportunity to have a conversation. I say, yes, I am. And she's like, yeah, but what kind? I'm like, I am, you know, I'm Armenian. She goes, yeah, but are you Hayastansi, are you Parskahai, you know, are you from Armenia, are you from Iran, this and that. I go, well, I'm just Armenian. If you're asking where I was born in Iran. But I'm Armenian. I'm not Parskahai, I'm not Amerikahai, I'm not this, I'm Armenian. So she goes, okay, that's always a conversation I have. And then I go, well, how about you? Where are you from? And she says, well, my dad's Armo and my mom's Vitek. So what does that make me? And I said, it makes you Armenian, my dear. So
no confusion for her. Okay, let's move from identity then to self-worth, the bigger issue, okay? You talk about a young 13-year-old inside of a motel room with a 20-year-old sitting on a bed, about a drunk sitting there. I mean, you're talking about some major lack of self-worth. Tell me a little bit about that, and how do you address it?
Well, families need to do it from a very young age. Oftentimes, families don't, you know. And even very intelligent, very well-educated parents can be too critical for their own good, too hard on their kids for their own good, too strict for their own good. The misconception is that it's always, quote-unquote, low-class people that have these types of problems. It's an absolute falsehood. We see these types of problems throughout all socioeconomic classes, levels of education, everything. Parents need to instill a sense of self-worth from a very young age. Praise for the children. Love. We do it through, and this is a term you're not really supposed to use in youth work nowadays, which is a completely ridiculous idea to me. We do it through love. So we love our kids unconditionally. The mentors and mentees form deep bonds, relationships that last a lifetime. It's through a great love.
I don't want to argue this one. Who would object to the term?
Oh, I don't know. You're supposed to have some clinical sense of detachment and so forth, and that's all fantasy land for me. If you really want to make real impact in real people's lives, you have to start there. So,
very beautifully said. Perfect way to bring an end to today's interview. Ara, I really appreciate it. All you're doing. God bless you. God give you the strength. Any parting shots? Any last words that you want
to
say?
I would just like to say thank you to you, Dervasken, and to St. Peter Church and In His Shoes Ministries for all the wonderful work you guys do in the community. Thanks for having me here today. I'm glad that we got the chance to do this. And anyone out there who's so inclined to do something for your community, do it. Make it happen. Be part of it. Get involved somewhere where there's something going on, like the church here, like Generation Next, like other organizations out there doing great work. If there's nothing going on, give me a call. We'll make something happen together, you know? So.
And why don't you give us some contact? How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find out about our program on our website. It's kind of old, but most of the information on there is good. agbugennext.org. That's www.agbugennext.org. Or you can just call me at the office, 626-794-7942. Again, 626-794-7942. And I've always wanted to say this, broadcasting live from Glendale. This is Ara Arzumanyan signing out. Thanks, Dervasken.
Yes, it is a thrill, and it is a thrill to have you with us. Not only for this interview, to have you in this community. God bless you, Ara. You are really one of a kind, and you are an inspiration to many, many young people who I hope will follow in your footsteps. Ara Arzumanyan, Generation Next, please check him out. Website he gave you a couple minutes ago. We'll put a link to his articles, because these are things that need to be read. It's a series of articles. Part one just came out last week, Ararat Magazine. Ara, once again, thank you and God bless. Okay, now some parting shots about Vartavar. That's this Sunday's special feast in the Armenian church, but I gotta talk about it because it is a feast that burns in my heart. It's not about water, it's not even about smoke on the water, it's about the essence of life water. What are we talking about now? Not just the molecules of H2O, we're talking about what is essential for our being, for our life. And just as water is essential, you know, you can get along without food for quite a while. You can't get along without water. The body just shuts down. Well, in the same way, the spirit needs something too, and that is the light. If you remember from the earliest moments of time, the essence of life is in the light. Even scripture, when it talks about the creation, and whether you buy into the creation or not, you've got to say something for it. It talks about God saying, as the first day of creation, let there be light. This is before sun. This is before moon. This is the essence. And Jesus comes and he says, I am the light of the world. And we know that Jesus is true love. So love is light. And that true love has an opportunity to, as Jesus says, to illuminate even the darkest of places. Even your life, when that life seems dark, seems to be in difficult times, that light can really shine. Vartavar is really the story of the transfiguration. The word Vartavar means, literally, it means to decorate with roses. Vart is rose, and varel means to decorate. So Vartavar was this decoration of flowers that took place during the pagan times of the Armenian people. And it was a pagan feast dedicated to the goddess Astrig. As many of the pagan feasts were eliminated as Christianity took over, as people saw the essence of real light, to find out how that light really illuminates, people started to put away these pagan traditions, but kept on practicing some of the more fun things. And of course, on Vartivar, they decorate with flowers, and there is a tradition to pass along some water, to douse people with water. In fact, in early days, people would go to the church where they were baptized, because of course, we are born again from water. And so they would go to that spiritual mother of theirs, and they would decorate that church in many of the traditions of Vartivar. Now, the story of Transfiguration comes to us from the synoptic traditions. Let's choose Matthew for the sake of clarity today, Matthew chapter 17, and we'll read that Jesus takes to a mountaintop Peter, John, and James. And there he was transfigured, says the evangelist. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. And Jesus came and touched them, and he said, Get up. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. The story of Transfiguration is a moment in history where Jesus allows us to peer at his divinity, for us to see the true light, to see the shining. And we see what? Elijah being the symbol of the prophets, and we see Moses, the symbol of the law. Between law and prophets, there is one that stands very clear. It is the language of love, the language of light, the language of purity. And God says, listen to him. And that is the instruction that is given to each of us. Seek the light. Seek the love that is offered to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we find all of the prophets fulfilled. In him we find all of the laws put to rest. We find the one law that makes sense in this world. It is the law of love. The love that lights up, that is the essence. As water is to the body, it is the essence for each of our spirits and each of our souls. May God bless you. May this Sunday's Vartivar give you a chance to reconnect to the awesome power of love. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. It was a pleasure being with you today. Once again, our thanks to Ada for joining us. Listen, please join us on the web at inissues.org and at epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast as well as every podcast we have produced from the beginning of time and all kinds of, well, resources for your spiritual journey. Until next week, we look forward to seeing you on our stream Wednesday evenings and, of course, next week at The Next Step. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani, who we missed out today, but we'll be back next week. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again when we take The Next Step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.